Hey guys, welcome back to Young Adult Adventist, also known as YAA. I'm John Yubongan.
And I'm Chandler Coleman.
Today we have a very special episode, a guest episode.
A guest speaker?
Really? Guest speaker. For this episode, our guest is...
Hi, I'm Evan.
Yeah. And that's all you... Okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm giving you.
Let me start this out, kind of a little introduction on Evan. What are you doing right now? Like, for work or...
I do real estate and whatever else makes me money.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people ask you, what's your dream job? I don't have a dream job. I don't want to work for my dream. I like traveling, and I'm doing whatever it takes to get money for that.
Yeah. So didn't you just go on like a spontaneous trip to like Japan?
Yeah.
So how long was that?
I was in Japan for 32 days.
32 days. Just yeah. And who All are you with? By yourself?
So I actually met a random guy on Instagram prior to going, okay. and I texted him beforehand saying, like, hey, you want to meet me in Japan? And then I booked 10 nights of a hotel with him.
Oh my goodness.
I had never met him prior to that. I just knew he also traveled. I'd talked to him like 3 or 4 times, and then I booked them. And I met him 2 weeks into my trip. It was really hit or miss on if it were to be a good trip or not, but luckily I liked him.
Okay, nice. Did you, I was about to say, luckily you liked him.
Yeah.
And so, in Japan, it was just you two there, and did you meet new other people in Japan? Do you still keep in contact?
Yeah.
You met new people?
It's really hard, because there's a 13-hour time difference.
Yeah.
But I did make a bit of friends there. I went to a couple birthday parties there spontaneously.
Okay.
Snowboarding. I met some Australians. Really cool people. Japan is flooded with Australians and New Zealanders.
Okay.
Great trip. I'm planning on going back out later this year, maybe in December.
Honestly, that's been one of my dreams, is to go to Japan and explore Japan, because I've seen on social media so much of their like culture, and like the cars are honestly amazing. The natural beauty. So honestly, if you go next year, take me, please.
Yeah, invite. Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. But we're glad Evan's here, and I met Evan at prayer conference a couple years ago. But enough talking about Evan. We don't need to puff him up anymore. So we're going to go ahead and get to our topic today. And so our topic is, what do young Adventists want to see in the church? What do young Adventists want to see in the church? I think this is a very interesting topic, probably the topic I'm most excited for thus far. I just really think we have some good points we're going to get into, some good questions, some good, just some good stuff we're going to be getting into today. So I hope you stick through the end, because it'll be a good episode today, especially with our guest speaker. Evan. So
I hope you guys enjoy it.
So I think before we start talking about what the youth likes to see in a church service, I feel like it's smart to unpack what is actually in a church service. So I wrote down here a couple of like what happens during the usual service of the Adventist church. So yeah, most churches around here in the United States follow basically some sort of outline, and like it's kind of in the same outline as every other church, and that's not bad per se. One, they usually have a Sabbath school or some sort of talk group to talk about lessons learned either from their life day to day or from the Sabbath school quarterly lesson. Two is the actual service, and that service is divided up into multiple sections: announcements, song of praise, opening prayer, giving offerings, children's story, scripture reading, words of affirmation, special music, sermon, closing hymn, benediction, and closing prayer. Now, you guys probably know that, but for those of you that do watch that don't know that, that's usually the outline of what happens in a church service.
Yeah, and so I think that's just interesting. Usually, I mean, for all Adventist church, it's not like you go to, I don't know if it's like this for other denominations, but you go to a church service and you kind of expect the same thing at any church you go to, Adventist church you go to. I don't know if Baptist church, like it's like completely different. They probably all have the same setup too. But in this episode, we'll be diving into kind of more the church service stuff, but that's just going to be a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be diving into just the whole Adventist church in general and what young Adventists want to see in the church in general. And so the first part of this episode is kind of talking about going back to our parents and what they did in the church and how the Adventist church brought them up. Because that's a huge thing, especially in our day and age, where like our parents tell us stuff, we might either rebel to it or agree with it. And it seems like in this day and age, a lot more people, a lot more children are rebelling of what their parents did rather than accepting it. And so I guess we're going to be start to dive into more of the reasons why that is. And so I think it's a big thing is realizing that like church is never going to be perfect because humans are running it, you know? Yeah. Like we can't expect the Adventist church to always be perfect and be the perfect example because, yes, we agree with this denomination, but in all reality, human beings are running the church. So we're not going to find the perfect church that we want, not the perfect denomination. Even if we get into Adventism, we're not going to find the perfect exact church that we like because all churches have their faults.
Yeah, even within a denomination, there's a ton of differences within churches. Like some are way more progressive, some are way more conservative, and to each their own, but all of them are Adventist churches. There's a huge difference. And that I imagine it's the same with other denominations as well.
And I feel like it's not even just the church itself. I feel like it's to the people who go to the church, because I know a lot of people find some churches more conservative than others. And I think it's really to the eye of the beholder of like how you choose to perceive church and how you want God to work in your life and just how you want God to use. I don't know how to word this, but like it's to each person's, I wouldn't say opinion, but it's to each person's like
to their liking,
to their liking. Yeah. Yeah. Cause if the church can choose one thing, but other people are going to have different opinions about it.
Yeah. And I think another thing just on that note is I'm just going to kind of lay out an example right here. And, it's like, maybe in our parents' generation, they would see someone, or our grandparents, how our parents were raised, they would see someone walk into the church that smelled like smoke or like that wasn't dressed their best, that may have been dressed dirty. And usually, I feel like a lot of Adventists in that age, from what I've heard, would judge those people and would condemn those people. Whereas I feel like in our age, if those people come in, we do a lot better job of accepting them and be like, we're just glad you're here. It's not so much that, oh, you're not dressed your best, because that might be that person's best. And it's not, that's not what it's about as much as we're just happy this person is actually here in church.
Exactly.
So I think the whole judgmental aspect is a huge thing that used to be a predominant factor in why people would condone Adventists, is because they're so judgmental. So do you, either of you guys think that like judging as far as the Adventist church goes, has that gotten better?
I feel like it has actually gotten a lot better. I've seen from my perspective, a lot of church opening up more, because I feel like, earlier on last year, a lot of youth kind of stood up and like spoke about how sometimes even they themselves feel judged by either their parents or the pastors. So I feel like a lot of churches now have opened up and like not really judged. And I feel like it's gotten a little bit better, but we can definitely still work on it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely varies church by church, because I've been to two or three within the past year that had drastically different opinions on newcomers. Say some of them like to see the process of people being changed, but some of them only like to see the outcome. Mm. And I feel like it's very hurtful in our church, because it sends a lot of people away from the Adventist. Yeah. Because if someone goes with a tattoo and they say, oh, you can't have a tattoo, they're not going to be as open-minded to Adventists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it may just be a one-person thing, they attribute it to Jesus or our church in general.
And that could be just a whole nother topic, is like the topic of church hurt, about how so many people are leaving. I would like to see that statistic. How many people leave the church because they're hurt? How many people leave like the Christian life because they're hurt by the church rather than actually, quote unquote, hurt by Jesus?
I definitely think it's a lot.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's a lot.
I would really like to see that statistic on that. And so kind of moving. Yeah. And so kind of moving forward on that, as far as strictness goes, as far as from what you've heard from your guys' parents or even grandparents in this day and age, what has changed, or what would you still want to change as far as strictness goes in the church?
Wow. So with the Sabbath, I know a lot has changed, because in my parents' generation, or my grandma on my mom's side, when they first turned to Adventism, she would say, oh, you aren't allowed to be more than knee deep in water
Sabbath. Yeah, I heard that a lot, yeah.
Or you can't walk more than a certain mile per hour on that day. My mom went to Laurel Brook, which is a Adventist academy, and in her age, it was a lot more strict than, say, GCA or CA. Well, no, I think a lot is an understatement, because they couldn't sit next to the opposite gender during lunch, or they couldn't have music, or they couldn't speak Spanish. I think that's a whole different story, but I feel like the other, not the other generation, the older generation is just a lot more strict on their opinion, and they aren't open to hearing other opinions, especially about the Sabbath.
Yeah, because I know, going off your point, I know my dad has a lot of stories. He went to Oklahoma Academy, and he would have the same stories, to where he would, all the genders would be separate, but to like a different extent. They couldn't ride on the same bus. They couldn't like walk beside each other in line. And if they saw someone talking to the other gender, they got a warning. And if they talked to that same person again, they would get like punished and like some sort of like bad punishment just for talking to the other gender. So I do agree. It used to be a lot more strict, but kind of going off, the same question I had, do you think right now in the church, the strictness, for lack of a better term, the strictness is where it needs to be? Do you think we're more laid back? And if our generation tried to become more laid back, do you think that's kind of a dangerous
thing? I think that's a dangerous thing, especially for our generation, is that it's easy for us to get laid back. And I feel like it's dangerous, especially for our generation, to get laid back, is because we go along with the compliance of society, of not like following like certain rules. And I'm not saying the rules of Adventism. I'm saying the rules that Jesus had laid out, the rules that like saying about like, I made the Sabbath to be, to give you rest, to give you time to spend with me. And I think if we look at it that way, if we are not strict and we're like loose about how to follow the Sabbath and how to necessarily like get closer to him, right?
Yeah, because that should be the main point, is getting closer to God.
I feel like it'll just go in different wrong ways, especially for our generation.
I definitely see where you're coming from, especially when you're thinking of how our generation saw what work was on the Sabbath, say like walking a certain speed or riding a bike, being more than knee deep in water. When we grow up, if we were affected by those same rules, we may start looking into our future saying, oh, what actually is work? Because if we don't agree with knee deep being in work, who's to say that maybe taking a phone call for business isn't work? Yeah. Or we may start stretching that boundary.
Mm. Yeah.
And I feel like that's where it gets dangerous, because when there's open, when there's room for opinion, it's really hard to know what's true.
Yeah. And I feel like, just like John said, I feel like that's a lot of kids' views these days, is that they just want the Sabbath to kind of be their own, and they want to spend time with God the way they want to spend it. And they don't, it's just all part of kind of the rebellious teenagers, how we don't, sometimes we want to do our own thing with our parents.
Exactly.
And the Sabbath can kind of exemplify that, because usually we don't like things our parents say for specific things, but the Sabbath is a whole day.
Yeah.
And if like our parents are telling us to do something their way for a whole day, a lot of us don't really like that. And so maybe like when we get older, we'll realize, like we'll kind of settle down and find some things. But it is kind of a dangerous game to play with, trying to, I don't know, like being so loose about the Sabbath. And like Evan mentioned, it becoming more about opinions than about actual facts in the Bible.
Yeah, I kind of see it in a similar way too. If a little kid grew up and he was forced to play piano, a lot of people who were forced to play piano when they were young grow up to resent it because they were forced to do it so much. And I feel like it's very similar in the church, because if they're forced to do something, say wear their best clothes, and they may not like wearing a tie, they'll grow up and be like, oh, I'm going to go just wear a t-shirt, or I'm going to wear something just not as professional, which I don't disagree that you're not welcome in the church. But I feel like if you can dress your best, I feel like you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's another big thing that we were going to get into later. So we're going to touch on that more later, but just a couple more points before we get to that. Because we did want to start talking about kind of Ellen White. And because this is a very interesting thing, just not on her teachings in general, but just about how throughout the generations, how different she's been like put on people. Mm-hmm. And so, I guess a question maybe for just all of us in general, like, do you think compared now from when our parents received Ellen White to when we receive to how we receive Ellen White now, do you think there's a huge difference in the way we've received her? And do you think that our perception on her needs to be changed?
Yes.
Oh yeah. I think a lot of the our generation right now like doesn't even know about Ellen White and about her teachings. And it's sad. And I think for the people who are do know her and have heard about her teachings, I think a lot of what we think about her teachings are skewed in a like a really negative way because of how our, again, going back to what Evan said about how our parents forced Ellen White's teachings. And for me, I think one of the things that really ticked me off about this is that my parents really, really like, I wouldn't say shove it down my throat, but like they really like tried to enforce a lot of the things she said. And it made me like really like at that time, like dislike it. And I think that's not just my story. I think that's the story of every youth in our generation, is that we hadn't really had a chance to study Ellen White for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's all about what, and I think this is coming from me, but I think a lot of people can agree that we've heard it from our parents, pastors, and Sabbath school, but we've really not had a chance to go over it ourselves.
And I kind of just want to go off that, not to rebuke anything you just said, but I kind of want to go on our parents' defense a little bit. That's from what I've heard from both my parents. It's like, when our grandparents were telling our parents about Ellen White, it was like Ellen White was the gospel. And so it's like our parents have to go from being like, we got preached Ellen White like she was the gospel, and now how are we gonna like kind of fix that to where we're still telling our kids about Ellen White, but we know she's not like as, we're not exemplifying her as much as our parents used to, but we still want our kids to learn. So I think it's them trying to find that balance. And I know in my family, my dad heard a lot about Ellen White in his childhood, and so I haven't heard much from him going to me. And so I think the main culprit in all this is like not necessarily our parents, our grandparents, kind of in that same way, kind of telling, kind of, it's not like our grand, it's not like it's actually our grandparents' fault. I just think the church, in that time, really was based on, more focused on works and like Ellen White and more focused on those type of things rather than the actual love of Jesus. And so that just sometimes gets carried down.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think it's just our parents. I think it definitely was the way it was brought to them.
Yeah, and I think that's like 90% of it is the way it's brought.
And then carried and brought over to us. And so I think it's a good challenge for you out there who are listening. A good challenge is, let's fix it. Let's make this light on Ellen G. White, and let's study for ourselves and how we can interpret her teachings in a more positive way.
Yeah, and I definitely think that's going to be a hard challenge, especially in our generation, because I personally grew up disliking Ellen White, mainly because of the rules that were imposed from her. And I wouldn't even say they were necessarily imposed by her. It was just a misinterpretation of her words. And she specifically said, don't go around saying Sister White said this, Sister White said that. Go back to the word and check what it actually says on it. It's just like, say if I were talking to you about a certain subject and then Chandler's just walking by and he hears it and he doesn't hear the full context of it. And then he goes around and telling his friend, for a specific example, I tell you not to eat pizza. And say, in this specific example, I am Ellen White. And then he's walking by, and he hears me tell you not to eat pizza. And then he goes to his congregation, say he's a pastor, and he tells them, don't eat pizza. Ellen White said this. And I feel like that's what a lot of our generation heard from Ellen White.
Yes, I like that. That's so real.
I like
yes, I really like that example. But on that same note, like I was saying before, I think the way Adventism and Ellen White used to be perceived, as much as we may feel like, some of us may feel like it's being forced down our throats or it's being too heavily forced, and our parents might have felt it was too heavily forced on them. On the contrary to that, because our parents may have felt it been too heavily forced on them, they may think now that they're just going to completely go in the opposite direction and be like, since it was so heavily forced on me, now we're just not going to worry about it and kind of back up. And looking at my generation, just like a lot of people in my class, a lot of people I know that are my age, it seems like, and hearing stories about all their parents, it's like Adventism was brought really heavily down on their parents, and now it's almost like their parents are just completely letting go. And it's almost, it's kind of scary, because it's like Adventism went from really hardcore, and now it's like a lot of people, especially our parents, didn't like it being that hardcore. Now they're just like almost completely letting go and kind of just letting their children do what they want, which I guess is pretty valid thinking about what how Adventism was forced on them. They kind of just want their children to figure it out for themselves. But that can be a very dangerous game as far as just going down the wrong path. And like you mentioned earlier, just bringing a lot of opinions into it and not necessarily facts.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people's opinions are going to keep their kids from learning about Ellen White. And I know a couple people I personally know, they just dislike Ellen White so much they won't look into her word just because they misinterpreted so much. And I find it really upsetting because I don't think everyone should be either a really good opinion to listen to or a bad one. I feel like everyone has certain opinions that are good and bad. And I feel like that's within and outside of our church.
Yeah.
Like, I can go to a, say, atheist person. They can have a good opinion. I can go to a Christian person. They can have a good opinion. You need to look at the contextual facts of what they're saying. And a lot of people just don't like to do that.
Yeah. And another thing off that is, like, Ellen White, I feel like there's just the huge argument about whether she's a prophet or not. People are so stuck on they don't think she's a prophet, so that means they won't look into her stuff and realize she has good stuff to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it's a big thing. Like, the prophet argument is, like, a big thing. But just because you don't think she's a prophet doesn't mean that you still can't read her stuff, and doesn't mean her stuff is still, like, she still has really good stuff to talk about in the Adventist church. Like, all these Christian authors that are so popular, they're not prophets, and yet we still read from them and learn so much from them. It's the same way with Ellen White. If you don't believe she's a prophet, that's fine. Doesn't mean her writings are, like, satanic.
Yeah.
Like, we can still read them and still gain so much from them. I feel like the prophet argument is taken so far out of place that people just think I can't read from Ellen White because she's not a prophet. Okay, then your Sabbath school lessons aren't from a prophet, so you're not going to read that either. I mean, it's just, I feel like it's taken way out of context sometimes for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I feel like on the flip side of that, the people who think that she is a prophet take her word, or maybe not everyone, but take her word way too seriously, and they won't look into the context of what she's saying. Like, I believe it's like letters from young people or letters for young people. She'll say very specific things to a very specific situation, and they'll read that and they'll say, oh, Ellen White said it applies to everyone.
Mm. Yeah.
And I feel like that's what a lot of the older generation did. And that's why the rules are so strict.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of her texts has been like twisted in a wrong way. So I think what's best for our generation, moving forward, the last generation, whatever generation you are, I feel like it's best to just drop whatever thing you carry that, like, drop whatever, like, you have related to Ellen White, whatever that, whether that's...
What's holding you back.
Yeah, what's holding you back. And I think it's wise to just study her without judgment from your parents and without the feeling of being forced to study her. I feel like if you, like, genuinely study her words and what she says, and you follow with the Bible, I think she has a lot of good stuff to say about the church and how to become a better servant to the church for God. And I think it's just wise to not listen to, like,
all the outside
talk. Talk and just let it be you, God, and whatever he has for you to learn.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge thing, is that because I've heard many stories about people that were very, like, by church hurt, or they were just hurt by God, and they didn't understand what was going on. And they were like, you know what? I'm just going to read the Gospels, take all the judgment, take all the pain, take all the sadness out of my heart, and just read the Gospels like I've first read it before. And I've heard so many stories of people that have been transformed by that. And I think it could be the exact same way with Ellen White and the Adventist Church in general. Take all the judgment, take all your pastor out of it, and just read it for what it is. And you could like bring forth a lot of things that could really help you if you would just read it for what it is and kind of, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's way easier said than done to take all your hurt out of it. Mm-hmm. But I've heard many stories of where it can just be a revelation for people just to read like the Bible, read whatever for what it is, taking your sadness out of it. But moving on from that, we got to move on a little bit now. But next thing, we're going to talk about kind of Adventists and music and Adventist, and also like dress code and Adventist. Yeah, this can get a little spicy.
This is
because I know there is a lot of different opinions regarding these two things. And so, first thing is, I know a lot of people like kind of the old time hymns. I'm actually one of the rare young people that actually do really enjoy like the old hymns. I really enjoy some of the ones
them.
I know.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of
them. Not like the random hymn. You go to this random church and they sing seven hymns that you've never heard before and they all sound the same. No, but really the good old, the old fashioned hymns I really enjoy. But I also really do enjoy like the loud music and stuff. And I know there's some churches that, and Adventist churches, these are getting more predominant. Some Adventist churches have these services where it's way more modern music. And then there's churches that are obviously way more old fashioned. And the issue with that, all this is that in every single church, you're going to find people that want one or the other. But as a church, it's difficult because you can't really combine them both. It's not like you can combine hymns and combine like the new modern music. It just doesn't really work out that way. So I guess a question I kind of have for you guys, like just as far as music in general, like what are your thoughts about how the Adventist church may maybe handle their music and services, or just our thoughts as a denomination on music in general?
So, okay, I've had this in my like in my mind for a really long time now because my parents are very conservative when it comes to music. They don't like the loud drums. They don't like the guitars and all the like flashy instruments and stuff. They like most of the very conservative hymns and olden hymns. And I think, to put it this way, I think there is a separate between olden music and the new age music. And I think, for me, this is my opinion, I think that's fine. I think the older generation can have their music, and I think the newer generation can have their music. And I think what it is that we just have to be accepting about having different music likes.
Yeah, it's just accepting that people are getting older and there's a new generation. And every time that happens in the history of the world, when there's a new generation and things just, and the world keeps going, there's going to be changes, there's going to be new trends, there's going to be new things people like. And it's just, it's not really that complicated, but just kind of, and I think our church really actually has done a very good job at just like accepting that like the new generation likes different music than the older generation, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I feel like not accepting that is when the problems come in.
That's where all the judgment that Adventists are known for, all our judgment comes in, yeah.
Yeah, and I know a lot of older churches, especially some that I grew up in, they dislike things so much, especially, like you mentioned, drums. I feel like that has been a huge controversy within a lot of churches. Like, even introducing a little drum into music, they say, oh, that's sinful, you can't do that. And I feel like that's where some big, big problems come in, because it may not seem like a huge issue, but someone coming into the church and them seeing that may think, oh, this church is way too judgmental for me. And they may start looking to other things.
Yeah. And I know for me, just this is not really off topic, but just kind of a thought I had. Like, especially when the sermon is ended and it's like, what is the song called? The benediction? That's not what it is. What's the closing hymn, I guess that's the name for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the last song, sometimes I feel like the sermon's just really good. I really enjoyed the sermon. And then the last song is just like something that, yes, it relates to the sermon, but it's a song that nobody knows. Yeah. And it kind of just kills the whole vibe because the whole congregation is like, amen, amen, getting emotional about the sermon. And then this hymn comes on that no one has a clue what it is.
Yeah. They say, flip your hymnal open to page 264.
It's like, what is this song, you know? Yeah. And I'm not bashing on anything, but I know a lot of churches that do a really good job about actually singing hymns that people know. I know my family personally has talked about it a lot. It's just to keep up the vibe and just to keep up the Holy Spirit and the good vibe, like on the Sabbath day, singing songs that not necessarily are popular, but songs that you actually know and are semi-familiar with is a huge help. It just, like, bolstering your spirit, like, on Sabbath. Like, just being able to sing songs that you know, that you're familiar with, and not, And I just know in some churches I've been in, they specifically sing songs that like exactly relate to the topic or of the sermon for the day. And most of the time you don't even know these songs. You don't even know these mm-hmm. hymns, and they can be very repetitive. Yeah. And I think a very underrated part of just church services in general is actually having songs that are relatable, that you know, that are fun to sing, that you actually have grown up learning. And so it can actually like bring the whole vibe of the congregation to a different extent. And that can be like really good.
Yeah. But would you say there's a certain extent where you would like to see it stop growing or stop progressing? Because I feel like if we leave too much room for change, there could be a very, very big change. And personally, I see there could be problems. Yeah, but again, it varies on your opinion.
Because there are some churches now that are starting to look like concerts and a lot of like,
yeah,
very, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, this is a very like,
this could be an episode.
This is an episode in itself yeah. And a topic I think we'll save for another time. Because I feel like there are some things that we should not cross. And I think there's some things that God wants us to not be doing. And I think I'm not saying anything, but like I don't know, just moving
yeah,
on.
Okay. But my kind of just little thing on that is, as far as you mentioned, like church services sounding kind of like a rock concert sometimes. And for me, it's like, it's not necessarily about the actual vibe than it is about the majority of people listen to that kind of like music on their own throughout the week. Mm-hmm. And if Sabbath, this is just my personal opinion, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but just for me, since Sabbath is supposed to be a day set aside, like no one actually listens to like hymn, like not many people are going to listen to hymns like throughout the week. And I feel like hymns is kind of just, it's more of a refreshing thing on the Sabbath because it's different. Because I listen to like this more, I don't listen to like rap, like Christian rap, but I listen to like normal average, like you're like Christian, your Christian songs from your modern Christian mm-hmm. artists. I listen to a lot of that throughout the week. And these church services that I've gone to that have more modern music, it's like they're singing those songs and it almost just doesn't feel like it's a day set aside.
Yeah.
Because I've been listening to that type of music throughout the week. And then we get there and it's like kind of the same thing. And this is just my opinion, but as Sabbath being a day set aside, I like the hymn idea because it's something different. It's something that you're only going to be for on the day you go to church. You're going to hear hymns. It's not the same music that you most likely are listening to throughout the week.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, definitely. But I also think, I actually found a really good Christian artist. I believe you would call it country, but I don't really know, a good Christian country artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like his music, and I can actually see that as worship. But if you look at some music nowadays, I feel like, especially in our generation, they may just like the song so much that it feels like Christian karaoke.
Yeah.
It's not really worship. But then on the flip side, I feel like whenever we're singing hymns, I feel like, oh, when's this going to be over?
Yeah.
But I think that may be a personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people may feel like, hey, this is my form of worship, singing hymns, or same thing with newer age music. And I definitely think there's not one right answer, but I don't know if it may lead to some problem in the future.
Yeah. And just one thing on this kind of whole topic. We've talked a lot about music and now kind of getting towards how we dress on church.
Yeah.
And this kind of can be the same correlation almost, because when the churches that I'm thinking of that have more of a concert type vibe, for lack of better terminology, it seems like these churches as well are the churches that may not be dressed as spiffy and as nice as some of the other churches are dressing. And for me, it's like... I was just thinking about this. It's like, yes, we were just talking about earlier how we shouldn't be judgmental to the people that are coming in. Oh, they have a hint of smell. I smell smoke on them. Oh, they don't look like they're as cleaned up as it could be. Just being happy they're there is a huge thing. But thinking of that on the contrary, it's like people that you know good and well, they could be dressed a lot nicer. Yeah. And they're up there singing with just like a hoodie and like a baseball, cap and like, jeans on, and there's nothing wrong with jeans, but just, I don't know, my whole thing just kind of, I don't really have a necessary opinion on it, but just dressing your best and not kind of conforming to dressing what's more comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people are thinking in their heads, oh, we want Sabbath to be a day of rest. And on that rest spectrum, it kind of comes to maybe more comfort. And so, yes, it's not like they're dressing in pajamas.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like the more comfortable type aspect is coming more into the church instead of dressing your best.
Yeah.
And this is something I would come at into conversation more of my opinion rather than fact-based.
Yeah.
Because I grew up dressing as good as I could at church. And I
think most
like,
people can agree with that.
Yeah, I still do. And I enjoy it. I like dressing up. And I'll do that outside of church as well. I'll look for any excuse to dress up. But I feel like some of these people, I, again, don't think it's a bad thing necessarily, but I know they have nice clothes. I know they can dress better. It just feels, in my head, disrespectful. Mm. But I know that could just be my opinion, and I'll let that be to the listener's opinion, because I feel like all three of us could have a different opinion.
Yeah. But as far as dressing goes, yeah.
Personally, I just like dressing up, and I like doing it specifically on Sabbath.
Yeah.
No, I think I agree with that, Evan, and I think what he said, all of what he said is, to me, very accurate. I think if you have the ability to dress your best, and if you have clothes that are fitting for Sabbath, I feel like it's the best to dress your best for God. Because yeah. I feel like going back to like a lot of what Jesus has done for us was very a lot, and I think this is how, in my way, how I perceive it, is that when I dress my best for God, is like I'm putting my best out there for Him. He's done everything for me, and so I'm gonna lay it all out, and like I think dressing is like for me a big part of that. It's just like looking my best for God. And I think, I don't know. I just think that's very important. Is if you can just dress your best.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that if you like, I don't know. I'm not saying that if you want to maybe not dress with a full tuxedo and a tie, don't do that. But like, I'm just saying is like, if you can do it, definitely.
Yeah. And a big thing off this whole topic is realizing that we could kind of be going back to the whole thing that got Adventists condoned on in the first place, and that's just judgment in general.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just important to remember as we're going throughout this whole episode and talking about these things that it is God that's doing the judging, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, we can have our opinions, and we shouldn't be trying to keep our opinions, like not trying to have opinion, because we're all going to judge people to a certain extent, whether we realize it or not. It's just kind of part of the sinful nature. But I think it's just important to remember that how people are dressing, like, yes, maybe we should talk about it sometimes and talk about it with each other, but we shouldn't be focusing it on so much, whereas we think we're in place of God doing talking to people.
I agree with you with that. I think, okay, clothes are just clothes. All right. If you can dress your best, God's not going to not let you into heaven for that.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're genuinely trying to have a relationship with Him, why does it matter that I'm not in a tuxedo and a tie? So, like, all of that aside, I think it comes down to whether you're in church for the right reasons. Because I know a lot of people dress up in church.
Just for others.
Yeah. And
That's a huge thing.
Like, I know we have a college around here. I feel like a lot of people just go to church for the credits and stuff. So, I feel like if you're going to church for the right reasons, why should the things you wear matter?
And that's a huge thing on the exact contrary we're talking about. We're talking about people that aren't dressing enough. I've seen a lot of people where they're dressing up so much. I'm like, I know, I can tell that they're dressing up so other people will look at them better
and not for God at all.
Yeah. So there's kind of two ends to the spectrum. And just like everything, that's where there's moderation and everything. There's a middle ground in everything. There's two sides of the spectrum to almost everything we can talk about. But just as John said, that's exactly it. Just making sure your heart's in the right place, not underdressing and just being comfortable. It's because that's more of just a respect thing to God, showing God your respect, and also not overdressing. Because going to church isn't about us at all. Yeah. It's about God, like, cleaning us out. It's about us going to God because we know we need Him, not us going to church because we want attention from other people. This is all about God, you know? So dressing our best to respect God but not impress others. Finding that balance between respect and not impress, I think, is a huge thing.
Yeah, but in all reality, it's not clothes that you need to worry about. It's not a salvation issue. Mm. It's just something on top of everything else.
Yeah. And so kind of moving on here, because we spent a lot of time on everything, which is good. We love having these genuine conversations. But kind of the next thing we want to hit on is the potential of our future church. And is this potential, is it, we've kind of touched on it a little bit already, but is this kind of a scary thing?
Yeah. And I want to add to that question, the potential about like the potential of the future church. I also want to add to that question, what do you guys, and I know we've kind of unpacked a lot of about the church, but what do you, Chandler, what do you, Evan, want to see more in the future happen in our churches?
Okay. Yeah, first I just want to talk about, at least in my opinion, it's getting really scary for me because, as we mentioned before, it's like I feel like we went from this version of Adventism where it was like in our grandparents' age where it was like hardcore rules, 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 and our parents kind of received that, and now they're kind of just letting go in a lot of aspects.
Very, very.
Yeah, and I feel like the generation that's being raised now, because there's just been a lot of letting go of kind of everything, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of scared for what this next generation of Adventists coming to. Is it just like, oh, let's just go to church once a month? Oh, as long as we're going to church every once in a while. Oh, it's Sabbath. As long as we're not working on the Sabbath, we can do anything else.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not genuinely, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, being like, for me, it's not as much stressing about how, because I do feel like we have a lot of good young adult leaders that will do good at leadership positions in the church.
Yeah.
For me, it's not as much about worrying about the leadership positions and how the church will be run, because I think that'll be perfectly fine. I know of a lot of young people that are going to keep that just fine. But for me, it's more of the congregation aspect of it, as of where are people going to be coming to church for the right reasons? Are people not just going to be staying at home just because they want rest and don't want to go to church? Are kids actually going to come to Sabbath school?
A big thing for me is
like thinking of the future, is like teen Sabbath school even going to be a thing? Because I know now, as soon as kids started driving, our Sabbath school, like at my old church I used to go to, used to be huge. As soon as all these kids started driving, it shrunk to smaller than you can imagine. And it's like, it just makes me wonder, I mean, I don't know, just kind of these thoughts on the congregation, what it's going to be like. Are we going to, like you mentioned before, is it going to be too progressive? Are we pulling too far back?
Yeah.
And what's like the kind of the antidote for that?
Yeah, like are we going to let our judgment growing up, or the judgment we received growing up, make us more loose as a church in the future? And like you said, I definitely know a lot of people I can name off the top of my head who will love to take place in church and take a good position in church, and they'll be able to fix things, or not to say anything's necessarily wrong, but they'll keep it in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it is a really interesting topic. Again, this could be talked about for an entire episode.
Because we can't like go too in depth with this, because we can probably make part two, part three to the series, honestly, because there's just so much to get into.
But I think a big part of it is just being involved. And I think a big part of church now is, what I love seeing is people getting involved, whether you don't have the proper clothes or not, whether you like a different set of music or a new age, old age, whatever it is, just get involved. And I think I have a verse here, 1 Romans 12:4-5. For just as in one body, we have many members, but all the members do not have the same function. And that we've talked about kind of that goes into what we just talked about. And in that same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and are individually members of one another. So I think that verse just really says that everyone has a different function, has a different opinion in what the church should be. But I think if we as a church come together and focus on God as the main topic, as the main idea, and leave all the judgment out of it, I feel like we can accomplish a lot as an Adventist church. So I think that's just the main point of all of this, is just really drop all of the judgment, okay? Because judgment is not up to us.
Yeah, God's the judge. Yeah, exactly.
You know, even with that, like I want to play like the advocate on the other side. If you don't judge whatsoever, are you too lenient on some things?
Okay.
That's true, yeah. And I think that's exactly what kind of our parents' generation is struggling. It's like they went from so hardcore to now like, I don't want them to raise my children like this. What do I do? So it's kind of just that whole thing. But I kind of have a verse here in verse 25, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. And this, I just love this verse because it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. How much does it sound like the Adventist church today? A lot of people just don't care about meeting together anymore, having that community. What does it say? Is that the verse in Ephesians that says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them? It's just, it's a huge thing actually meeting together, being in community, having your church family, having these people that will support you in any situation. And I feel like people without realizing it, this generation, are so much shying away from actual community. They just want to do their own thing. It's like Sabbath is just a day of not working, but I can still do my own thing. We should really be focused a lot on community on Sabbath as well.
Yeah, and with technological advancement as well, like, I don't want to be the guy who brings up COVID, but during COVID, all of the people doing virtual church and watching church from home, I feel like a lot of our generation may look into that and just be, I can just watch it from home for convenience. And then it starts becoming less of a community and more of a TV show, or even less than that, actually.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people that have just stayed online, which there isn't a problem with that. You could still get the same things out of the sermons. I mean, even if, I don't know if online Sabbath schools are a thing, but you can still get the same thing out of church, I guess. You could still get fed from church being online, but just that community aspects of it, the people you could meet, the interactions you can have, the amount of interactions I've had been like, oh, you were there? Oh, my parents were there? Oh, that? And just making those connections just because it's the Adventist joke, right? Yeah. Oh, we're Adventists. It's a small world. Adventist world. You always know each other. And just kind of just that silly little thing, just making those interactions with people, new people, meeting new people, and just realizing how everyone's connected. I mean, it's just the beauty in that, of just having community and like making friends with people that could easily have your back in the future for situations that you may go through.
You know, I actually resonate with that really well, because a long time ago I had a whole situation that made me question my whole relationship with God, which could be a longer conversation, but I started thinking about like, which church am I comfortable in? Because I grew up as a person who took what everyone else told me and I just accepted it. Mm. And then once the whole event happened, I started thinking, I need to start thinking for myself. And I did exactly what you talked about earlier, and I just read the gospel, I read the Bible, and I prayed, like, completely non-denominational related. I guess you could say it was non-denominational for a little bit, just because I was searching.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair.
And I was still going to Adventist churches and everything, and one answer I came up with at the very start of it in my head, which has changed now, but I thought, I don't really need to have a church community because I have a relationship with God.
Mm.
And growing up, maybe like it was a couple months of that opinion, I started thinking as I was reading into the Bible, I had a lot of opinions and I had a lot of talks with myself and God. And I realized that I couldn't grow further. Like there was a brick wall stopping me from growing further because I didn't have a community.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
And I feel like once I realized that the Adventist church aligned mostly with the opinions I had, I started being able to come in with a lot more wholehearted attitude on things.
Yeah.
And I can actually have talks like this.
Mm-hmm. And a big thing that, since I feel like a lot of people in our generation just feel like the older people just kind of shut us off and tell us we're doing nothing right. But one huge thing I think this generation, our generation, does do really well is just the vulnerability and just having raw conversations, just being able to listen to other people's opinion and being open to other people's opinion. Because I feel like our view of maybe older Adventists is they're kind of shut off. They don't want to talk about things. This is right. This is the way. We are not. We have our blinders on. We're not hearing any other way. That's kind of our view on the older Adventists. But that's what I like a lot about our generation is that we're open a lot more to other opinions. We're open to listening to other opinions, but a lot of us are still built on the truth of the Adventist church, built on the truth of the Bible, to where we can be open to other opinions, but still be able to defend our faith. And I think that's a huge thing in just bringing other people to our church and associating with other people from different denominations, being willing to be open, but also being able to defend our faith, but being able to have that vulnerability with other people that we wouldn't be vulnerable to if we were shut off.
Yeah. You know, I actually feel like to help with that, a lot of people have to go through what I did, not specific situation that I did, but that whole search on your own, not taking things exactly as they're given, taking everything with a grain of salt and looking into everything yourself. because a lot of people can't defend their faith because they haven't looked into other things. In my whole period of searching, I was talking to Pentecostals, Baptists, Catholics. I was talking to everyone just because I wanted to hear many opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that strengthened my opinion of, again, like the Adventist Church, because it aligns with most of what I believe. And that's not to say I don't disagree with some things, but it's what I agree with the most. And going back to what you said about like the elders or the past generation looking down on ours, there's a whole verse that I kind of see similar. It's 1 Samuel 17:42. He looked David over and he saw that he was more than a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And I feel like that's how a lot of people, or a lot of the past generation, sees our youth whenever we're trying to change things. They're saying, "Oh, you're young. What do you know?" Or you can't change anything. You haven't looked into the Bible nearly as long as I have. Or I studied Hebrew. You didn't. You don't have a valid opinion. And I feel like that happens a lot when people want to change things in our church now.
Yeah. And I know that's a really good point. I really do want to touch more on that. But we have so much stuff in this episode that we could get to, but we're just frankly running out of time.
So I guess we'll have to have Evan back sometime.
We are going to have like a part two in this, because this is some really good stuff we're talking about. But to kind of just wrap this up, do you guys have maybe, does anyone else have a couple few verses that could like relate to this? I know I have one. If you guys have any more verses just to kind of tie this in back to the Bible before we close out this episode. And we have so much more we can talk about, so we'll get to that in other episodes. But I'll start off with the verse in Ecclesiastes 11, 9, and 10. It says, "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that all for these things God will bring you into judgment." And verse 10 says, "So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast out the troubles of your body for youth and vigor that are meaningless." And it just reminds me that, yes, it's important while we're young to just live the life that God has given us and just be happy. But especially at the end of verse 9, where it said, "Know that God's going to bring us into judgment for all the things that we do." So if we try to have fun and give into the pleasures of the world, be aware that it's about where we're going. It's about our spiral in life, our upward spiral, whether our spiral is upward or not. And it's about just where our heart posture is our whole life. So just realizing that we could take a lot of worldly pleasure, but God's going to judge us for that.
Amen.
Just realizing that we've got to be aware that, yes, it's our young days. Yes, we can have fun. Yes, we can learn the Bible for ourselves, but it truly should be all about what God thinks about it and how he's going to judge us in the end. And that should always be a thought in our heads.
And I do have another verse. I have 1 Peter 2:4-5. "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And once again, like in this verse, we are compared to as spiritual houses being built up. And I think it's important to look into the church and to not break each other down. Break each other's houses down. And I think it's important that we as a community, like you said, and as a church, build each other up and help each other ultimately achieve the one goal, is salvation and being with Christ.
That's what it's all about.
And I think when we look at all of this, all of the judgment, all of the specifics in clothing and music and what we should do or not do in the church, and I think in church, I think the main overall lesson and thing that, if anything, we want you to get out of this is that don't look at the church to be the only thing that leads you to having that relationship with God. Make it a point to be your own relationship with God and through you and God yourself. And I'm not saying that it's not important to have a church community, but I'm just saying
make
that
your relationship with God your own.
Yeah. And don't let the church ruin it for you. Okay. Yeah. So
yeah. I actually have another verse.
Okay.
As well. Yeah, we all have one. So this one's 1 Timothy 4:12.
Love this one.
Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in the way you love, your faith, and your purity. And I feel like that is something I would definitely like anyone who's listening to really take to heart, because we are not just the potential for the future of the church. We are the church right now. We don't have to wait.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing we could easily get into. But we are running up close to an hour right now.
I'm going to cut it off here. Whatever you guys have learned from this, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode with our guest speaker. Thank you again, Evan, for coming on to the show and talking about it.
I definitely want to come back again. And also,
we definitely do.
If anyone would be interested in talking about anything specific, I'm always free. I'm not in school right now.
We'll probably tag you in like the Instagram or something.
And we're gonna use this as a plug. If you want to be a guest on our podcast,
no, because we do not want Evan here again. Please let me know. I'm just kidding.
No, yeah. Please let us know. We just being honest, we really had trouble finding a guest, especially it wasn't finding a guest. It was just the timing. But
they had to pay me to come.
If you really do want to come voice whatever you have in your hearts and minds, and if God is telling you to say something, if you just want to talk at our podcast, just let us know.
Let us know. But again, we thank you, Evan, for being here. And if you've listened to the bitter end of this episode, thank you. I mean, you are a warrior for listening to all about 56, 57 minutes of this. So we thank you for listening. We hope God has blessed you. We hope this talk has helped shed a new light on Adventism, maybe got your minds thinking about some certain things. Maybe you can talk to your family, friends about this. Just a talk that we want to have that was suggested to me, and I was like, oh, this is a really good idea. So, John, we thank you. We thank you, Evan, for being the guest on here. Hopefully we can have you again, and we hope we can see you guys on the next episode. Right, so thank you so much for tuning in.
Can I pray us out?
Yes, you can pray us out.
All right. Dear God, thank you that I got to be on this podcast, and thank you that I got to speak with these two great friends of mine, and I hope that at least one person took a message out of this and can grow closer to you because of us. And thank you so much that I'm here, and hopefully I can come back again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
With that, tune in to our next episode at Young Adult Adventist.
Peace.